The movie that stars Cary Grant in all of our minds as fans of the movie giant who for 3.5 decades defined Hollywood charm and pizzazz. That memory movie would have a bit of this in it.
Leopard? No, why should I want a leopard?
Well, for that matter, why should I? But I've got one.
Oh, of course, it's a stuffed leopard.
Of course, now, why should my brother Mark be hunting stuffed leopards in Brazil?
Cary Grant there with Katharine Hepburn from the 1938 Bringing Up Baby. There would also be a dash of this in our fan memory movie.
I'm frightfully sorry, but I've got an awful shock for you. Ted has killed a man, darlings.
Nonsense.
But there's a body in the window seat.
Classic 1944 zany comedy, Arsenic and Old Lace. And, of course, the Cary Grant movie in our minds would include lots of this.
How about the top of the Empire State Building?
Oh, yes, that's perfect. It's the nearest thing to heaven we have in New York.
The 102nd floor. And don't forget to take the elevator.
No, I won't.
That's Cary Grant with Deborah Carr in the 1957 romance An Affair to Remember. But Cary Grant stopped making movies in 1966, and so our memory flick would have absolutely none of this in it.
1972, Jennifer and I are having breakfast in bed, bacon and eggs, cooked by Willie, Jennifer's nurse, and as a special treat, we're watching television.
That's Cary Grant in the 1970s in a recording made for one of his finest roles as Daddy to his daughter, Jennifer.
You know, happily, my father retired when I was born. So, really, I didn't know he was an actor for quite a while. I know that sounds bizarre, but we didn't watch his movies. I knew him as Daddy, and all of the energy that he put into his films, all of that charm, all the wit. Of course, he was gorgeous and handsome and amazing and shiny and bright. But all of that energy was focused on me.
Jennifer Grant got the last 20 years of Cary Grant, born Archibald Leach's life, all to herself. She came into the studio last week to talk about her memoir, Good Stuff, A Reminiscence of My Father, Cary Grant. The book is all about a fatherly gift. For Jennifer, Cary Grant was accessible, gentle, present, and just a regular dad. All the things his fans never got to see.
He wore all those qualities as a dad. So intimidating, no. Brilliant, yes.
Wow. So when did you first get an inkling that this daddy guy was known by more than just, you know, the neighbors?
Well, I remember we were in the Hamptons, and we were in a friend's living room, and we were watching An Affair to Remember. And it was the first time I'd seen one of his films. I was a very young girl, and I was curled up on the couch next to Dad, and of course, there's Deborah Carr, and she started kissing him, or he started kissing her, and I was outraged. I jumped off the couch, ran over to the screen, and slapped her.
And so you are the one woman on planet Earth at the end of Affair to Remember does not cry.
Right. No, I was just shocked. There was my gorgeous father kissing someone, some woman that I didn't know. I'd never seen this woman before. Who was she? Why was she there? So I then began learning that there was a life prior to his life with me.
So as a little girl, you turned to Cary Grant and said, Daddy, this was your job? And he turned to you and said, Jenny, something like that.
Yes, something like that. Yes.
Did he have the quality? I mean, it's fascinating to see you recognizing the character that you know as father in some of the most iconic movies of all time. Oh, that's Daddy. Let's take Arsenic and Old Lace, for instance, where he has this comedic ability to be kind of like both the handsomest man on the screen, but also a kind of a Three Stooges sort of zany in the middle of craziness. Mm-hmm. Did he ever react, like that with you when maybe he came home and there was a big mess or there was crazy confusion going on in the house? Did he ever sort of...
He definitely might do the double take, or he'd do a little dance, like a sideways dance into the wall type thing for me, just to make me laugh. But he didn't like that movie.
Really?
He didn't. He thought he was way over the top. And he didn't usually discuss his films, but I happened to watch that film late one night because, of course, when I was growing up, films were on cable late at night. And he'd say, oh, you were staying up too late if you were watching one of my movies. But he thought he was way over the top in it. And, you know,
it's hysterically funny.
I know.
My kids love that movie.
It was appropriate to the film.
Yeah.
But later, he sort of honed that double take to a much more concise double take and crafted more of, you know, who Cary Grant later became.
Darling, that's me?
Mm-hmm.
You have a date, my beloved, July the 1st at 5 o'clock. But you don't say where.
Well, you name the place and I'll obey.
I don't know. I can't think.
We had a whole different life together. I think, you know, really, my book is more about the man who I spent my life with at Dodger games, you know, who's a huge Dodger fan, and at the racetrack, and we were homebodies too. So it's a lot about our life at home and where we traveled and what we ate and the dad behind the scenes, because that's the Cary Grant that I knew.
You know, you describe in such loving terms how he, you know, retires to spend his time with you. In a sense, this experience that you write about is a very special gift to you from him. And you're giving it to the rest of us. How hard is it to give up in this book?
Initially, I really held these memories close. And that it was challenging. And the more I wrote, the better it felt. And the more I was able to gain perspective on sort of the longing I had for him, because I miss him still, but writing was such a cathartic process that it helped. It really helped with the missing and amount of love I have for him.
And look at you tearing up even now.
Yeah, it's true.
But, you know, I think one of the great things about your dad is that as tough and dashing and heroic as he was as a star, he was always the softy.
He was.
Was he that in real life?
Even more so. I got to see the tender, just dear side of him. And I, you know, he saved all of these audio tapes and things for me. He would put a cassette recorder in my room from the time I was a baby until I was about 12. Because after that, you know, privacy becomes an issue.
Yeah.
But he recorded me with my friends, and sometimes it's dad putting me down for a nap. And so I had 80-some of these tapes, and I listened to all of them while I was writing the book. And it was so lovely to hear his voice again, but the tenderness, the lilt in his voice.
Are you reading it from the book? Can you read now? Oh, not quite, but almost. You can read many words. Aren't you clever to read?
It's unlike what you see on screen. There's a softer version of Dad, even.
What do you think he'd think of this book?
Well, I hope he would think it was good stuff, you know. It was definitely my litmus test in writing the book, if he would be pleased by it. I think he'd like it.
Jennifer Grant, thanks so much. Daughter of the legendary film actor Cary Grant, author of the new memoir, Good Stuff, A Reminiscence of My Father, Cary Grant. Thanks.
Thank you.
Those are fine songs. Those are nice songs to hear on Thanksgiving morning. Where did you learn those? Oh, out of the book. What a nice book that must be. Would you show it to me someday?
Sound recording there from within the Grant home. And, you know, if you look in the eyes of Jennifer Grant, daughter of Cary Grant, there are those eyes. Cary, all the way. More of the takeaway by heading to our site. If you have a memory to share of Cary Grant, your own film clip that you love, perhaps your own father, tell us that story. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it to thetakeaway.org. Special thanks this hour to our director, Jake Howitt, for helping to put together that interview you just heard and taking us right to the Cary Grant couch. I'm John Huckaberry. Celeste Headlee is out under the weather again. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.